teach them about the manifold wisdom of Christ. You know what a manifold is? It's that thing on the side of an engine where all the cylinders puff their exhaust in there and it comes out one pipe. How many know that the wisdom of God is multifaceted? I said the wisdom of God is so vast, just like the love of God. And Paul had a revelation to proclaim, saying things like that a man, if he's in Christ, is a new creation. You have all these in Christ realities of who we are versus what we were when we were in the other kingdom. Now, most of us in here understand what it means to trade kingdoms. I'm glad I left the low kingdom and entered into the high kingdom. How about you? And so I'm trying to get you to see, yes, we live in the United States of America. Yes, we live in Texas. But you know what? We're in this world, but we're not of the world. Now, that's the message. That's what was being proclaimed here. Now, I want to read, if you would, please put up Ephesians 3:8 in the Amplified Bible. And just look up on the screen because I want to show you this. I'm just kind of setting this out for you so you can receive the revelation of how God wants you to operate in the blessing. The blessing. Say the blessing. But you've got to understand how you get the blessing and where the blessing comes from. Now look what it says here. It says to me, verse 8, it says to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, this favor, this privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles, that's everybody who was not part of the Hebrew or an Israelite, was considered a Gentile. We were Gentiles until we got born again. Okay? Now look at this. It says, to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending. Now look at these words. Look at these words. Boundless, fathomless, incalculable, exhaustless, riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Look at those terms again. Boundless, fathomless, incalculable. You know, in other words, there's no computer that can calculate this stuff. The exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. If you're born into this government, it's talking about having a government that is unlimited. Their resources are unlimited. They're inexhaustible. They're uncalculable. They're unfathomable. It'll blow you away. We're not talking about some third world nation. We're not talking about some nation that's depending upon the oil supply. We're talking about the God of heaven and earth, the creator of everything in it and everything of it. That is the country which you come from. That is where your citizenship is. And now you are a representative. You are ambassador in Christ. Jesus said, no wonder he said, you must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. You study that word in the Greek, it means to be born above. We have been born by the Spirit of God, and you know already that in the kingdom of God, you have access to all kinds of help. You have access to the greatest helper that ever was. It be the Holy Spirit. Amen. You already know, I believe most of you know, that we have access to the angels. Hebrews tells us that all the angels, are they not ministering spirits to those who are heirs of the salvation of God? So we have access to an inexhaustible, unfathomable, I mean, it's a whole picture of God. Now look over here to Luke chapter 5. Are y'all with me this morning? Okay, I had to show you how big and how resourceful this kingdom is, because I'm just trying to let you know that you got to see that in this kingdom there is no end. When he said, I'll meet your need according to my riches in glory, you got to understand that it will never run out. And if you're an ambassador, your king, your sovereign ruler is going to make sure that if you're in your assignment, Everything is going to be fulfilled. Everything you need. Talking about everything you need physically and everything you need spiritually. Everything is provided for an ambassador. Are y'all about to get this? Okay. Well, here's Jesus. Now, I don't know how much time we'll have to get into all these, but he's out here preaching in Luke chapter 5. Now, what's he preaching? He came on the stage preaching the gospel. Now, sometimes we think, well, okay, the gospel is good news. It's good news. What does good news mean? Well, good news means that God will save you. God will take your life and forgive you of your sins, and, you know, you can go to heaven when you die. Now, that's good news, but the good news in reality is a picture of what heaven. Here's what it means. The gospel is a picture of what is the eternal realm. It's a picture of actually what God has stored up in heaven for you and I. Again, we're not talking about, when we say heaven, we're not talking about a place where we go when we leave this earth or when we die. We're talking about a kingdom that we enter into as we become sons and daughters of the Most High God. This kingdom is being established right now. And you and I are ambassadors of this kingdom that is being established. So he's preaching this gospel. What is he doing? He's using the gospel as a picture. He's using his words to paint a picture, just like he taught in parables, right? He taught those physical things as a farmer would go into to his field and sow seeds and so on and so forth. He was painting pictures of what? Of heaven. And we understand that, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're talking about what heaven looks like is what this kingdom looks like. And this is the kingdom that you and I are in this earth. Amen. So as he begins to preach, what does he do? He sees these two boats, one of them being Simon Peter's. And he says, I need to borrow your boat. And he got in the boat and let it drift out a little bit so he could project and preach the gospel. Preach that message about the kingdom of God. Then when he got through preaching, he was ready to go to the other side of the lake. Now look at this. When he had stopped speaking, verse 4, he said, launch out into the deep. Now remember something. Remember, Peter and all his associates have been fishing all night long. They were professional fishermen. And what? They didn't catch a fish. Some professional fishermen, huh? But how many know sometimes when you're in the world, you don't always have luck? Thank God in the kingdom, you don't need luck anymore. So the point is, they had been fishing all night. I'm sure they were very tired. And okay, they listened to Jesus a little bit. But then now Jesus says, okay, let's take your boat and let's go out there and let's catch some fish, guys. And Simon answered him, verse 5, and said to him, now look at this, Master, we have what? You remember that word? Do you remember that word? That's old system. They had been toiling all the night. What happened to Adam when he was kicked out of the garden? It says, you will toil by the sweat of your brow. So when you're in the other system, it's going to be hard work. It's going to be labor. It's going to be sweat. Come on, are you with me? He said, we have toiled all night and we have caught nada, nothing. Nothing have we caught. He said, but nevertheless, at your word, he said, we'll cast out the net. And what happened? They cast out the net and they caught a whole boatload, boat sinking load. Come on, a kingdom, come on, a kingdom that is fathomless, a kingdom that has no end to its supply. What else happened? He called his partners. You can read it there. Hey, guys, come on out here. And his partners came out there and said, throw your nets down. And what happened? They threw their nets down, and they caught a whole boatload, boat sinking full of fish. Come on, somebody. A endless supply of the kingdom of God. Now, let me just pose a question to you. What if he had 500 partners? and said, come on out here and throw your net down. Are y'all getting this? There is an incalculable, it cannot be calculated, it's boundless. There's no limit on the kingdom of God. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That's what I'm trying to show you this morning. That when you draw from the kingdom of God, you're drawing from a kingdom that there is no end to the resources. Man alive. Now go over to Luke chapter 15. We're right there. Okay. Now I'm going to make a couple of statements in this message to you. Well, not today, but throughout the message as we minister, because we don't have enough time today. But based on what I've been showing you, here's the first one, and I kind of brought it to your attention last week, is that your job has nothing to do with your prosperity. Your job has nothing to do with your prosperity. Your prosperity comes from your inheritance. I give you the scripture last week, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing, the blessing. It is the blessing that gives you the well-supplied life. Your job is just where you, you could say, you work and do the things to fulfill your assignment in God. But your job is not your prosperity. Now, to have a job is a blessing, but it's not the blessing. The blessing will cause you to live a fulfilled life or a fulfilled supply of life apart from the job. Now, you're saying amen, but do you believe that? Because a lot of people here, you get your job confused with your inheritance. Your inheritance is the blessing. Not a blessing, but the blessing. The blessing of the Lord makes one well supplied and adds no toil to it. In other words, the transfer is made. Just like you came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and the transfer was made now where God is your provider and He provides in His riches and glory, which is an everlasting, unending, inexhaustible, uncalculable, boundless, unfathomed reality. More real than what you can see in the earth. It's unlimited. Okay? Well, here's, and this is where, now this is where the rich, not the rich young ruler, we'll talk about him some other time, but this is where, remember the guy had two, the father had two sons called the prodigal son? Now this is where he messed up, okay? He had ask his father for his inheritance. Let's just begin to read here because we don't have a lot of time to develop this. But it says, when he had spent it all. Now, we know he squandered his inheritance. It says, there arose a severe what? Here's this famine again in that land. Now, whenever you're operating in the world system, there's always going to be famines. There's always going to be shortages, remember? There's always going to be talk of recession. There's always going to be talk of this going up and that going up and not enough of this and not enough of that. But see, our thinking now has completely changed. When the world says there's not enough, we say in God's kingdom there's more than enough. I said the world thinks that there's going to be a shortage and something is by supply and demand. No, in God's kingdom, we demand, He supplies. It doesn't go by the system of the world. Are y'all, you got to see this, church. Okay, so he's operating now under old system. There's a famine, okay? Now it says that he began to be in want. The reason that he was in want is because he was in what? The old system. Whenever you're in the old system, you're always going to be in want. The Lord is my what? And I shall not what? Okay. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of what? Of that country. He went and joined himself to somebody that was not of his kingdom. Doesn't the Bible warn you and I about being unequally yoked together? with those that don't believe, that we're not to be yoked together with those that are not part of the kingdom of God. Okay, what did this prodigal, foolish son do? He went out and he yoked himself to a citizen that was tied to the old system. And if you're tied to the old system, you're tied to its shortage. You're tied to its curses. You're tied to its limitation. You're tied to all the drawbacks and all the things and the pressures that it brings. It says, and he sent him out into the field to feed swine. There he was, toiling, working in the hog pen. And, you know, God didn't approve too much of hogs anyway. And there he is, being an abomination to everything that he stands for. And, verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. Hold your place there and look just Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 16. And Jesus spoke the parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man, say rich man, yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods. See, when you're tied to the old system, even though you are rich in that system, you develop a hoarding mentality. You develop the hoarding mentality because you still have a poverty mentality that enough is never enough. That's why people with even billions of dollars won't give you nothing, because they operate on the old system where they think that there's going to be a shortage, or if they spend something today, there won't be anything tomorrow. So the Bible says, and they gave him nothing. Are you with me? Why did they give him nothing? Why would they not give the hungry prodigal son something to eat? Somebody tell me. Because he was tied to the old system. Y'all are not following me today. Are you flowing with me? Are you fasting? Okay, fasting helps you be sensitive to the things of God. When you're connected and the mentality is that you're part of that system, then that system is stingy, it's greedy, it hoards up. And no matter how much you get, you think saving up and hoarding up and building the bigger barns is the safety and the security. But see, Jesus said what? Lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot come in to destroy. And we're not talking about waiting until we die and get to heaven to enjoy. We're talking about in the kingdom of God now, in this earth, as citizens of the kingdom and ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what happened here? He said, back over here in Luke 16 or 15. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay. Luke 15. It said they wouldn't give him anything. Now, when he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. So he made a change of heart. He made a change of mind. He repented. Remember, repent and believe. Okay. And I will say to him, that's what the young prodigal said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your what? Make me like one of your. Now let me ask you something. Was he a servant? No, he was a what? What are you? We are sons of God. Yes, we serve God, but we are sons of God. And when we're a son of God, then the picture of the Father turning his heart back to his children are right here in this passage of Scripture. A picture of how the Father is waiting to receive even the prodigal son who squandered all of his natural inheritance so he could restore him back and give him the best of life. Now, I read the Scripture to you in the book of Galatians. See, what we have to keep in mind is long, what stops us from receiving the blessing by the very fact that we stay childish. By the very fact that we stay acting childish, operating by our flesh. Paul said to the church at Corinthians, he said, are you not carnal because there's divisions, strife, envy, jealousy? You know, division, another word for division could be prejudice. No matter what color you are, you could be prejudiced. You know that? He said, aren't you still carnal and acting like mere men? And then over in the book of Galatians, let me just close with this one because I'm out of time. In Galatians chapter 5, and we'll come back and pick this up because you need to see this, that when we, well, let me read Galatians chapter 5. Now, I begin teaching Wednesday night how the fast begins to restore the spiritual forces of what we call the fruit of our spirit on the inside of us. I don't have time to go back to that because it took me an hour to develop that the other night, but listen to me a second. Paul is talking here and contrasting the spirit of the flesh or the flesh versus the spirit, the recreated human spirit. And he tells you here what the works of the flesh are in verse 19. It says, the works of the flesh are evident. See, what I'm trying to show you is that as long as we're childish, Galatians, that scripture in Galatians 3:1, as long as we're childish, we're no more than a slave in the house. In other words, we don't understand our inheritance. You got me? Okay. Paul said that because you're carnal, because you operate by the flesh, he said you can't receive the things of God. You can't receive the meat of God so that you can get the revelation of God and understand who you are in Christ so that the devil quits stealing from you. So that you quit falling in the traps and the snares. And so that you know what his devices are, so that you're, when you're tempted, you don't fall. You stand like Jesus did on that Mount of Temptations, and you quote him the Word of God. Hallelujah. Babies, childs can't quote the Word of God. Amen. They can't understand it. It's not revelation to them. And Paul is admonishing, grow up, or you're going to operate by the flesh. And he said, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, which is just a big word for uncontrolled flesh. Your flesh gets out of hand and your flesh starts dominating you instead of your spirit. He says idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to me. He's talking to saved people. He's not talking about going to hell there. He's talking about unless you grow up and get out of the flesh, you won't inherit the privileges that you have of entering into the kingdom of God. You won't enter into the blessing. And Jesus would stand up and say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is, not will be, not shall be, theirs is the kingdom of God. And the religious mind says, oh yeah, brother, when we die and we all get to heaven, it's going to be glorious. But what about right now? I said, what about right now? Jesus come preaching the kingdom right now. Jesus came and said, I have come that you might be set free. I have come so that my Father in heaven can supply all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Throw out the net. I'll show you according to your word. And you catch an unfathomable, unexhaustible, I mean uncalculable, boatload, boat-seeking, full of your abundant life. Praise God. Stand up. I tell you what, the devil is a liar. He tries to keep us operating under that old system. Tries to get us back into that mentality of how the world lives is how we're going to have to live. Somebody say baloney. Have you been born again this morning? I said, have you been born again? Then you've changed kings. You no longer serve the kingdom of darkness. You've been translated out of it. Spiritually, supernaturally. Well, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, isn't it the same spirit that raised you from the dead?